Illinois Public Media News. This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, January 16th. Coming up, a new exhibit at the Urbana Free Library shows how Illinois was involved in the Underground Railroad. We'll hear more on that story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Urbana Police Department is investigating a fatal shooting that occurred just before 2 a.m. this morning on the 1200 block of Ellis Drive. Upon arrival, officers located an adult male victim suffering from a gunshot wound. The victim was transported to Carl Hospital, where he later passed from his injuries. The Urbana Police Department advises the investigation is ongoing. Additional information will be released as it becomes available and asks that anyone with additional information to please contact the police department or Crime Stoppers. Central Illinois could see some bitter cold this weekend. IPM meteorologist Andrew Pritchard has more.
While snow flurries continue to fall off and on across central Illinois, resulting in some minor accumulations, the bigger story becomes an incoming shot of cold air this weekend into early next week. The first cold blast arrives on Saturday, sending overnight lows and morning temperatures on Sunday into the single digits, with wind chills as cold as 5 below zero. A reinforcing shot of cold air will have our high temperatures in the teens on Monday, with overnight lows near zero and wind chills approaching 10 below zero at times. We'll see temperatures moderate midweek, but more cold is likely on the way in the last week of January. For Illinois Public Media News, I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard.
You can stay up to date on your forecast at our weather blog at ipmnewsroom.org. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees voted yesterday to raise tuition at all three of its universities. Tuition for incoming in-state students will increase by 2%. That's as administrators froze tuition for in-state students for 7 of the last 11 years. Board Chair Jesse Ruiz says state support helps keep costs relatively low.
We're very fortunate that the Illinois General Assembly has also, and the governor's office has been very supportive of higher education, increased higher education funding in our state.
Illinois law requires universities to hold tuition steady for in-state undergraduates for 4 years. Costs will increase more for out-of-state and international students. Urbana-Champaign is raising out-of-state tuition 7% for most programs, and in Springfield and Chicago, tuition increases for the same group are between 2 and 5%. This week, the Trump administration terminated hundreds of federal grants to support mental health and substance use programs. Yesterday morning, they reversed the decision. Peter Medlin spoke with some Illinois grantees about the last day's whiplash.
Federal funding was cut for the 17th Circuit Court's drug court program in Rockford. But just as I got on the phone with trial court administrator Tom Jakeway, more news broke.
Since we talked last 5 minutes ago, SAMHSA notified us that your award will remain active under its original terms and conditions.
He says it's been a really busy 24 hours.
On Monday, we were planning the 30th anniversary of our drug court program. And on Wednesday, we were planning for the ongoing sustainability.
Drug courts are designed to provide mental health services and substance use treatment to people charged with nonviolent drug-related offenses instead of incarceration. And this federal funding is used for in- and outpatient substance use treatment and therapy. And drug courts are required in Illinois. So Jakeway says they'd have to figure out how to keep paying for services even if they lost this federal funding, but now they can go on uninterrupted. I'm Peter Medlin.
Between Tremont and Eureka Streets in Champaign, Fifth Street bears the honorary name Walter Smith Way. The street honors a man who devoted his life to helping young people in Champaign-Urbana. IPM Student Newsroom's Anna Koh has more.
Walter Smith studied kinesiology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign in the late 1960s. Smith dedicated his life to the Douglas Community Center. He established after-school programs that not only gave kids something to do, but also provided a safe and welcoming place to be. His daughter, Shalina Thomas, says he was always passionate about sports, and his motivation to work with children came from his upbringing. She says her father grew up on the west side of Chicago, where violence was common.
I think he wanted to make things a lot easier for those kids in the neighborhood around Douglas Center. He didn't want them to grow up like he had to.
The Douglas Community Center, operated by the Champaign Park District, continues to offer a wide range of after-school activities for young people.
Dad instilled that we should help those that are in need. We should go and do our part to make sure they have what they need, because being a blessing to someone is how we receive our own blessings.
I'm Anna Koh, IPM News.
This story is part of IPM Student Newsroom's new series, Champaign's Honorary Streets, The Stories Behind the Signs. The series continues through next week. You can catch it on air on the 2 and 7 Today podcast and find more stories from the series at ipmnewsroom.org. Coming up, a new exhibit at the Urbana Free Library shows how Illinois was involved in the Underground Railroad, including East Central Illinois. That story coming up, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, cloudy with a chance of light snow and a high of 39 degrees, with a west wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a low of 17 degrees. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and colder with a chance of flurries and a high of 21 degrees. A west wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a chance of flurries and a low of 8 degrees. A west wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 24 degrees with a southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, Illinois has been fighting the Trump administration in court over immigration enforcement, National Guard deployments, and government funding. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has sued Illinois trying to get election data. We'll talk about all that with the state's top legal officer, Attorney General Kwame Raoul. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Journey to Freedom, Illinois' Underground Railroad, is an exhibit that highlights people around Illinois who helped with the Underground Railroad. The exhibit, presented by the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, runs through March 31st at the Urbana Free Library. I spoke with Pat Kane, the library's archives manager, and Dr. Barbara Suggs Mason, co-chair of the Champaign County African American Heritage Trail, who collaborated to present local ties to the exhibit to learn more.
I think one of the difficult pieces in looking at East Central Illinois and its direct involvement with the Underground Railroad is the fact that so many of the stories have not been written down. It's been an oral tradition, stories passed on. There is some evidence, but I think that what we find is that in some cases there's no conclusive proof, but we know that many of the individuals we've identified were abolitionists, and there's evidence in other places that they live that they were involved in the Underground Railroad. A great example of somebody who consistently we seem to have information about would be Abraham Smith, who was a Quaker who lived in Vermilion County and who was very active in the Underground Railroad from the time he moved there until his death in 1863. So there's evidence. Unfortunately, the freedom seekers, men and women who were African-American, didn't necessarily write their stories down. And many of the white individuals who were involved, because they were, quote unquote, breaking the law, they didn't always write their stories down either. So we listen to stories that have been passed down through oral tradition, or evidence that we can find occasionally from sites and papers that were left by those individuals.
Pat, what does it mean for the library to share something like this to the community?
The library, you know, we're here to serve all within Urbana, and then particularly with Champaign County Historical Archives, serve all within the county. And that includes, you know, telling all stories from our county's past. And so, you know, hopefully with an exhibit that, you know, as Barbara was mentioning, there's, you know, not much sort of, you know, hard proof when it comes to some of these stories. But hopefully, you know, when we can bring these stories to light and, you know, have them told within the community, it draws more attention to these stories. People are talking about it more. And hey, maybe more stories will come to light. You know, so-and-so may talk to their family members and hear about some of these oral traditions and these oral stories, you know, that Barbara was mentioning. And you know, people may reach out or may look to document them themselves. And you know, it really just gets the conversation going around, you know, our community's history, which is what we're here for.
Barbara, is there anything, or it could be a series of things, that you hope the community members gain from attending this event?
I think it's important, and I've been committed through the Heritage Trail, the African-American Heritage Trail, and I think Experience Champaign-Urbana has been committed to that, that we tell stories that have been untold, that have been hidden, particularly for the African-American community. I was very lucky. I grew up in a family where not only did we have the oral tradition, but I had grandmothers who saved everything. So it helps us to tell our story. And it's amazing the number of people who have pictures and documents in their attic that they've never opened. And once they do, they can begin to share their stories of their family, their traditions. I think that is important to be represented within the community of Champaign. For instance, through the work with the Heritage Trail and research, we found out that in 1869, Frederick Douglass, who was a Black abolitionist and speaker, was invited to Champaign, to downtown Champaign, to be a speaker for a fundraiser when they were trying to raise money for the Champaign Library. So it's amazing that in a county that was predominantly white, with few African Americans, one of the probably greatest orators, one of them certainly of that period of time, who was African American, was invited to speak before the public here. Untold stories, mm-hmm. stories that we want to bring, because it tells us and helps us, by looking at the past, we're able to understand better why we are where we are now. And I think that that's vital.
I think she, you know, said an important point really well, connecting the past with the present. I used to be a high school history teacher, and one of the things I really enjoyed about the job was working with students to connect the past with the present. Looking at stories, themes from the traveling exhibit, from the local companion exhibit that we've been working on together, you know, I'm reminded of a lot of themes and stories that we're seeing in present day. You know, you see stories of neighbors and communities, you know, working together in the face of some challenging realities that struggle for fairness and equality, things that we still see communities and neighbors, you know, working towards today. So the past, although it might be over 100 years ago, still there's a lot of things from the past that still ring true today. And, you know, hopefully when we can work with the community to make those connections, you know, we can learn from the past and, you know, live in our present, you know, at the same times.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Kimberly Schofield. Reporting today contributed by Andrew Pritchard, Emily Hayes, Peter Medlin, Anna Coe, and Kimberly Schofield. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday.